Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
First, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the prestigious company of Aidan Donnelly from Davies. Good morning, Aidan.
Good morning, Joseph. How are you?
Any plans for the long weekend?
I'm heading to New York tomorrow because I'm over there to meet a load of companies next week and see what life is like on the ground. It'll be very interesting given last night's court case in New York to see what the political outturn is.
Yes, very interesting. And of course, New York is where the trial was and where the sentencing will be in July. Make sure you pack a few quid. I know you're not shy, but New York is pretty pricey these days.
Now, certainly is.
And let us go. Let us start with something that annoys a lot of people who like going to live events, and that is a story about Ticketmaster. Half a billion customers at risk after a cyber attack.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a very interesting one because I think when people think about their data and things like that, you know, it's mostly about their bank accounts and that, and they're probably very, very specific about that. But, you know, things like Ticketmaster, maybe they're not as kind of as strong in their passwords and things like that, but because they just see it as a kind of a site like any others. But story now overnight that hackers have basically got in and stole the details of more than a half a billion customers. They're said to be demanding 400,000 sterling in a ransom payment to try to prevent it, the data being sold onto the dark web. So it's authorities in the US and Australia are actually engaging with them in order to try to understand and respond to the incident. But I think what's important really are you know, it shows you that the consequences of you know, data breaches like this, you know, go beyond monetary losses for companies, because you're going to have obviously operational disruptions, data loss, but also more importantly, reputational damage. And as you said, there'll be a lot of people just waiting to put the knife into Ticketmaster because they don't particularly like them. So this might give them gristle to the mill, you know.
It is, yeah. Ticketmaster is owned by Live Nation, and the Americans are looking into Live Nation as to whether it is fair and whether it is in breach of competition policy that the distributor of tickets is also the company that promotes concerts. So let's see how that plays out, as they say. ChatGPT, everybody's talking about it. It's owned by a company called OpenAI. And they say that Russia and Iran and Israel may be using its AI technology for political purposes.
Yes, indeed. And this probably could be classified as, well, you didn't think it was any other way type of a story, did you? But the ChatGPT makers have said that they've caught groups from Russia, China, Iran and Israel using the technology to influence political discourse. And I think the big thing about this is, you know, where they're using it is the groups are using the technology to kind of write posts, translate them into various different languages and build software to help them basically automatically post all of this on social media. So it's basically turning it into a kind of a quasi-industry, if you will. But what OpenAI is saying is that, look, that none of the groups managed to get much traction with the social media accounts associated with these. But I think, you know, it just begs the question, you know, all around ChatGPT and OpenAI and things like that, about, you know, at what point will regulation have to start coming in? Now, whether regulation necessarily prevents this type of thing, it probably doesn't, because, you know, criminal actors are always going to be criminal actors. But I do think it moves along to see the extent in which, you know, this is creeping into our lives.
Yeah. Now let's move to a little bit closer to home and something that is close to my heart and possibly yours as well, Aidan, and that is beer. Caoimhe Gordon in the Irish Independent, she has a story about Budweiser and its green credentials.
Yeah, normally what happens is when people have beer, they exaggerate their own credentials. But in this case, it's the Budweiser basically said that it was actually coming from the Sinn Féin Senator Lynn Boyle, and she's made a complaint to the advertising standards in both Ireland and the UK because she's basically saying that the company is making spurious claims about its ability to provide or use 100% renewable energy or electricity in the manufacturing manufacturing. So she's made her complaints and the Advertising Standards Authority in Ireland upheld her complaints because she said on the sign it said that beer it sold in Ireland was brewed with 100% wind and solar electricity, and that selected Irish pubs were powered by 100% renewable electricity. And obviously they said the claims were exaggerated. Same thing over in the UK. But what's interesting is the ads in the UK are now going to have a little asterisk beside them that says the actual electricity used to brew Budweiser is not from 100% renewable sources, but they ensure that the equivalent amount of energy is generated under green energy agreements to offset the non-renewable energy. But Ms. Boylan is basically saying that's pretty unacceptable because, not surprisingly, whoever reads the fine print with the asterisk...
Especially after six tins of Budweiser.
Exactly.
It's a bit like the asterisks that will be beside Manchester City going forward. Now, let's talk to about the AIB economic outlook. It says that growth will continue, but it might moderate in the next few years.
Yeah, they're estimating that about 2.8 million people will be employed in the labour market by 2026, and that's going to underpin, it's been underpinned by population growth and flexible working. And that ultimately leads through to GDP growth, you know, still going to expand moderately by 2.4% this year. Now, I think the thing about it is, you know, you look at 2.4% GDP growth, and there are probably, you know, plenty of companies through mainland Europe who would give their eye teeth for growth like that. So, you know, everything is relative, but it definitely is slower than the rates we'll have seen over the last couple of years. They're also talking about growth of 2.2% in what's called modified domestic demand. And that's just kind of the less volatile gauge of economic activity. And it's what a lot of people ultimately use more so than GDP for where Ireland is involved. But look, they're also saying that house prices are unlikely to fall because of the economic growth and the employment and also the fact that supply remains a big issue. On that. And finally, they're saying that inflation will ease and they're expecting it to fall to 2.2% in 2024 and then down to sub 2% in 25 and 26.
Well, talk about inflation. We get the ECB's version of Eurozone-wide inflation today. It's a very important number because the interest rate decision is next week.
Yeah, and I think it took on a whole new importance, surprisingly enough, actually, last week, because we have seen an uptick in inflation in the US. We saw it in January, February and March, and it's kind of stabilised in April. But most people were saying, oh, it's a US issue, it's a US issue. But then last week we had the very surprise spike in core inflation in the UK. And I suppose since then people have been wondering whether, you know, the Europe is the last one to see this and could we actually see a similar type of spike in core inflation. And I think, as you said yourself, it's going to be key because with the interest rate decision coming up next week, you know, this is the main focus for the ECB. What's surprising, I suppose, from last week's UK decision was that prior to the data, it was a 50% chance that there was going to be an interest rate cut in the UK. But in June, that's now completely gone and you have to go out towards the end of the year. So today's number is going to be very important as to what happens. And I think the other thing that's worth bearing in mind is that, you know, we have seen the number of potential for cuts in interest rates being priced out of the market. So we're really only now looking for kind of one or two in Europe where that would have been a lot higher, certainly at the start of the year.
Okay. Well, Aidan, thank you so much. Enjoy yourself in New York. Watch out for Robert De Niro. He's on the rampage these days in New York. So watch out for him. Get a selfie with him. Have a great weekend, great long weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.